A Saturday tradition. The Sports Corner on ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Good morning to everyone in Southeast Louisiana. It's the Sports Corner broadcasting live on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB in the works. Casey Gisclair here in Cutoff, Louisiana. Stan Gravois across the way out in Terrebonne Parish. Wilbert Rhodes pushing the buttons in La Rose, Louisiana. We've got a jam-packed show coming your way. In the next 2 hours, we're going to have high school basketball talk, which is going to be leading into three straight coaching segments, two basketball coaches, one football coach. We have Brian Colley in 15 minutes. His Tarpons got a big win in the Swamp last night. A little bit more about that game in just a second. Hanville assistant boys basketball coach Derek Zush will join us at 10:30. We hear about the River teams. We hear about how good they are. We'll get a chance to talk to Coach Zush about the district and Hanville and some of the things that they're doing out there. Then at the bottom of hour one, we'll talk to Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill. Again, continuing with our theme of asking these football coaches, hey, guys, what are you guys doing in your offseason? And it's going to be a little bit different at Terrebonne as they're shut down for 2 weeks. So we'll talk to Coach Hill about that. And then in hour two, we're going to talk about LSU football, LSU basketball, Nicholls basketball, a whole gauntlet. And then we'll obviously talk about some Saints and then NFC, AFC title games leading into us picking those games. And then we'll have a little special segment at the bottom of the show to honor Henry Aaron, who passed away yesterday, one of the greatest athletes of all time and had one of the most phenomenal careers of all time. But Stan last night was in the high school basketball gym, and for the first time, really in a long time, was able to sit back, relax, watch a ball game, and just kind of lose myself in the action. And for a good 10-15 minutes there at the end of the fourth quarter into overtime, was able to just kind of forget all the craziness going on. I forgot that I was wearing a mask, forgot that, you know, there were not a whole lot of people in the gym because of the situations and the circumstances. The Tarpons got a big overtime victory. They won the ball game against the Gators by a point. South Terrebonne trailed by six with a minute left in regulation, forced overtime. But in overtime, the Tarpons found a way to get just enough done to get a 52-51 win. They're now 2-0 in district play. That was a great game. There were a lot of great games last night. But, man, always fun whenever you could get those two teams together. It feels like they always play a competitive, hard-fought game. And this time it was the Tarpons who got a close one-point victory over the Gators.
We talk about the two schools being a lot alike as far as their clientele, you know, the kids that go there. And obviously when you see scores like that, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, whatever the sport might be, you sort of realize that there's a parallel between the two schools, and certainly that happened last night. I would imagine, and I can't wait to ask Coach Colley if he had a couple of his kids maybe in the gym this morning practicing and sharpening up on their free throw shooting. But that not being said, you know, it's fun to watch when it's competitive basketball, and that's certainly what that was. And it's also fun to get games like that under your belt where you just said it, you sort of lose yourself because we still have some of those stoppages in play. And I know the LHSA made their ruling this week that you have to get 12 games in. And although a lot of people are not really panicking about that, when you sit and think about it, and you start looking at the state as a whole related to how many games they have under their belt, each of those schools individually, there's a few schools out there and a few schools that are perennially in the playoffs every year that have a little bit of work to do. And when you don't know what's going to happen day to day with this fluid situation, it might be a little nerve-wracking, you know. And listen, South Lafourche is in that boat, sort of. I think they'll get it in. I don't think it'll be a problem for them. But you worry if you have a stoppage of play like Terrebonne did. Of course, they're not in the same district. You worry. Assumption's had some problems along the way. Heck, you know, I'm sure the folks at South Lafourche look and say, God, I hope we could get on with things. So, yeah, last night was back to a sense of normalcy, and we heard it all the prior 2 weeks that last night was a night everything was supposed to sort of get back. The only scary thing, again, Terrebonne on a two-week outage where they're not playing here in the Bayou region. And then we also heard last night, probably about 3 or 4 hours before the game, that HL Bourgeois girls were not going to play last night against Thibodeau. So there's still a few problems along the way, but hopefully, you know, we're kind of moving along and everybody does get those 12 games in.
To the 12-game point that you mentioned, you're right. I would want to be sitting right now at 10 or 11 or so just in case because, yeah, it's nervous whenever you're down there at 7-8 games right now. And, you know, you may have 8 or 9 of them scheduled, but the way it's going, you just don't know how that's going to work out. But looking at some of the other scores from the area last night, I'm telling y'all, I've been saying this for a couple weeks now, and a lot of my buddies like to text me and say, oh, they're not playing anybody, this, that, and the other. E.D. White blasted Patterson last night, 68-55. The Cardinals are something like 13-1 now. I know Patterson's really good, so that was a very impressive win. This Ethan Soigne kid, he scores 25, 30 points every night. He had 35 last night for a Cardinals team that under Coach Keefe continues to roll.
I don't think you could just go down the court and shoot the ball, and that's what some of these teams do. And I think E.D. White plays that kind of, you know, very systematic offense on, you know, when they're running the ball and passing the ball around. And I think sometimes that gets frustrating. And I would imagine last night it probably frustrated Patterson a little bit. And if you're not missing, obviously basketball is a fun game. And the way they ran away with it, you know, listen, if they would have beat Patterson by a point, or they'd have beat Patterson in overtime or a close game, you know, it came down to a couple of buckets at the end, I would have said, I would have expected that, but not to see the way they just went out and pretty much handled that game. So, yeah, anyway, especially since they get to play in the division bracket, that could be very interesting because I think, you know, they can make a little noise in that division bracket now, and they're steadily moving up as far as their PowerPoint ranking. So it could be all good. We sat there and kind of concentrated on the E.D. White football team. Watch out. The basketball team looks like they may be in a little bit better shape bracket-wise than what the football team was.
Yeah, no doubt about that. In our 4A district, Assumption puts it on Morgan City, 80-56. Jaden Tyler had 33 points in that game. It's not surprising to hear that. He's the reigning two-time district MVP in that district. It was Ellender 75, Vanderbilt Catholic 45. DeAndre Thomas had 26 points last night for the Patriots. Then, of course, we talked about South Lafourche 52, South Terrebonne 51. In our 5A district, Destrehan 73, Central Lafourche 70. Trojans put up a fight but succumbed to the Wildcats out on the river. Centerville 50, Covenant Christian Academy 31. Let's see. We also had on Thursday night Central Lafourche beating Vanderbilt 41-34. White Castle beating Assumption 45-34. And then some girls' scores from Friday night. The game that we called here on the network, we had the Lady Tarpons getting a 44-18 win over South Terrebonne. And then we'll get to some other scores in a minute, but I want to give a shout-out to the South Terrebonne girls team because they have been through the ringer, man. Last night was their first game in more than a month. They'd been through all sorts of drama and COVID issues and contact tracing issues and this, that, and the other. And last night they were without Coach Sinak. They were without one of their starters. And I know that team's a little bit limited, and I know they've been through a lot. But the point I'm getting at is there was no let-up. They didn't necessarily play altogether great last night, but they competed until the end, and their spirits are still good. And my message to the Lady Gator community is keep fighting because though the results are not there yet and you've been through a lot, it's coming. You can see that it's there. It's coming. It may take a little more time, but it's coming.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll say in addition to all of that is, and the one thing that sort of bothers me a little bit about the way this is going on, that team really hasn't been on the court together at all for some time. Now, you hope that individually they're getting some conditioning work in, but to consider, and this is without their head coach, to consider that they just got back on the court, and you may correct me on this, Casey, but I think Coach Sinak explained to us that it was either Tuesday or Wednesday after almost a month of not doing anything.
Yep.
And then to have to play on a Friday night is pretty, you know, to me, it's pretty unsafe is the way I term it. Now, kids are kids, and if you give any kid the opportunity to go play basketball on a given night, I know they can do it. But from the standpoint of being ready to go, I'm not quite sure. And that team was young to begin with. So, yeah, my sentiments, too. I'm glad that we're playing again. I just want to make sure everybody's playing safe. And, you know, that's something I've been worried about since we started the athletic season for all sports. And that was kind of a game last night that I thought, man, maybe a little bit more practice time. But again, you held to play 12 games if you want to you know, compete to maybe get in a bracket. So I get it. I get it. And while we're congratulating them, certainly congratulations to the Lady Tarpons, who have been playing well of late and getting a big win in that game.
Yep. In our district girls scoreboard, Assumption 45, Morgan City 35. We've got Donaldsonville 60, St. James 51. Central Lafourche gets a big win. They beat Destrehan 42-33. It's Ellender pouncing Vanderbilt 66-22. I've had a chance to see them play. They're really good. Coach Dixon's got a hell of a squad. E.D. White 55, Patterson 33. Then a Thursday score. Shout out to our team of the week in this area. Thibodeau won both their Tuesday and Thursday games with only six players available. They go 2-0 in the week after beating Destrehan 48-47. Coach Ashley Adams, we're going to have to get her on in a couple of weeks. Kudos to her. They go 2-0 with only six players. I can't imagine, but the Lady Tigers are finding ways to get it done.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you think about professional basketball, there is a protocol. If you don't have this many guys on the bench or you're not available with this, you don't play. In high school, Team A could call up Team B and say, hey, although I have 15 kids on the bench, I have three who can't play, and they happen to maybe be my three starters that are of, you know, great significance, and then they may postpone the game. Or he may call and say, hey, I have 15 kids, I have three who have COVID, but they're really reserves and they don't play very much, and they may decide to play the game. So the protocol for high school is a little bit different. Consider that in the NBA, there's no way anybody would ever get, or the WNBA, or probably college basketball, there's no way they would allow six kids to go in and play a game. I wouldn't imagine. To think that Thibodeau did that, that's pretty awesome. And quite honestly, when we were kids, again, we would love that. I just hope for the safety of all of the kids involved, everything went all right. I would assume that it did. But, yeah, two games they got in and unfortunately, you know, didn't play on Friday night.
Lady Tigers continue to roll. Looking at the Class 5A power rankings on the girls' side, I wanted to see where they stood. They are currently on the outskirts, so they needed that win to have a chance to perhaps get into that top 32. So kudos to them for keeping the hope alive, trying to find a way to get into the postseason. Next week, we're going to break down all those numbers and everything for you and let you know how everybody stands. But we're up against a break. When we get back, we'll go to South Lafourche boys basketball coach Brian Kiley. His Tarpons got a very difficult and very emotional win over South Terrebonne last night in the Swamp. We'll talk to him and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center, Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Hi, this is Sydney and Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. Winter is here. That means it's time to have your heater cleaned and checked. Are you tired of your old system? This is the perfect time to upgrade. Our prices are at the lowest this time of the year. So call AC Ambulance for a free estimate on a new high-efficiency Daikin system backed by a factory 12-year parts and labor warranty and financing to fit any budget. Don't wait till your attic is 130 degrees.
Don't take a chance. Call the ambulance today at 467-1400. That's 467-1400.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But E-Tail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing E-Tail business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. E-Tail is on for business.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Ramsey's will sell you a 2-carat diamond.
That's big.
For just $6,495.
$6,495, 2 carats.
You can choose between a 2-carat diamond from a diamond mine
or a 2-carat created diamond.
Compare them side by side, then make your choice.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
Hi, this is Todd Graffanini. Join John DeShazer and me as the Pelicans take on the San Antonio Spurs Monday at 7 p.m. on ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
One.
one of the more dramatic games of the night and of the season so far was in Berg last night, where South Lafourche gets a 1-point overtime victory over South Terrebonne to improve to 2-0 in district play. We have their coach on the line now, Coach Brian Colley with the Tarpon Boys. Coach Colley, good morning, man.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. Game last night. Your team fought. It was back and forth, and at the end of the day made just one little extra play at the end to find a way to get the win. And I know talking to you after the game, you're awfully proud of the kids, and I'm sure you're still proud this morning.
Oh, extremely proud. You know, we went in there and we fought hard, and game back and forth. You know, we took a lead, and they come at halftime, and they hit a big shot to go up by one, and, you know, he kind of took some momentum away from us. And I told the guys at halftime, I said, listen, it's not a bad thing that we're losing at half. We've been winning just about every one of our games, and we only got two wins to show for it. So I said, I'm kind of glad we're losing right now. So just relax, and let's come back and get, you know, take the lead. And we kind of took the lead. Well, they went up on us a little bit in the third, and we took a lead in the fourth quarter. And, you know, if we make a few foul shots at the end, I think we can maybe win it in regulation. But Coach White does an outstanding job with his young men. And, you know, he had his team ready to play. Fleming kind of took over that game that second and third quarter. And didn't have an answer for him. And we kind of switched our defense on him. And I think it helped us out a little bit. And we're, you know, fortunate to put out of the.
Listen, when you're talking about the two games that you played this week, the Vanderbilt game and the South Terrebonne game, I don't know that you probably were prepared for that Caleb Fleming kid from South Terrebonne as much as maybe you were for the Hawthorne kid from Vanderbilt. So is that a situation where, because you totally dominated the Vanderbilt game, is that a deal where you kind of knew what to expect with Vanderbilt and maybe the Fleming kid kind of came out of, you know, thin air for you, or you did realize maybe – I don't want to say he was that good, but obviously he got hot and he started to invade the middle, so to speak. So was that a situation where you didn't know where that came from?
Yeah, well, he got extremely hot in that quarter. You're right. And I always say this as part of a coach, you got to put your kids in the best possible situation to have success. And we always have a game plan going into games. I know sometimes people don't think we do have one, but we do. And we, when Fleming got hot, I looked at assistant coach Brody Williams on the bench. I said, "Where did this guy come from?" You know, we saw him on, you know, some film a little bit, but he got hot, and he kind of caught us off guard. And you know, thank God we made a little adjustment in toward the end of that third quarter and kind of slowed it down a little bit. And look, he got cramps at the end of the game, and he was out at the end. So if he's not out, if he's in. At the end, you know, who knows what could have happened.
Coach, I know that you're very pleased with the way you guys played interior last night. Daniels had a big night. Otan Walker were big as well. But you touched on something that I know you guys are going to be working on, is that inside play would be so much better if you guys would be able to complement that with an outside game. You had some open shots, didn't convert them last night. How do you get those kids to keep shooting with confidence?
Well, I mean, you know, we're telling our guys, shoot the basketball, except I took one kid out last night because he came in and shot a three in transition. That's not something we want. I'd like a couple passes before we, you know, get a shot because it allows us to get into rebound position. A lot of people think, you know, come down, just jack a shot. We're ready for it. We can't rebound a basketball on the offensive board. And, you know, I think we're tired. Our legs, you know, playing six, seven kids a lot of nights, and I think our legs are tired. You know, coming off 2 weeks off and coming back playing and you're off and stuff. And there's no excuses, but we're not in very good shape. We need to be in better shape as a basketball team. And I think that has an effect on our shooting.
Talk a little bit about that 12-game, I guess it's maximum, that you have to play with the LHSAA. First, does that game that you played with the out-of-state team from Mississippi count? And then, whether it counts or not, I mean, you have like seven or eight games left to play, so you should be safe. But you see Terrebonne High go on a lockdown and a shutdown. You see what possibly could happen. Does it worry you at all about getting in your 12 games?
No, not really, because, you know, we told the team we're going to play one game at a time, and we're not even worried about the playoffs. Like in the past, you know, we get in the playoffs at 32 seed, and that's something we don't want. So we want to try, you know, if we can get in there, get in a better position in the playoffs. But really, it's not going to affect us. We're just going to, you know, you get up each day and see what the day is going to bring to you. And, you know, hopefully we can get these games in. And if, you know, something happens that we don't, well, that's something we have to deal with. But I was under the impression early in the season that they were going to waive the minimum requirements, and they popped this on us and with this 12-game minimum. But if we can, you know, play out the rest of our season, we're fine. We have a couple, two-game wiggle room, maybe to two or three games, to, you know, that we can lose and still get our 12 games in. But you know, really, we're just gonna play one game at a time and see what happens at the end of the season.
Coach, with the game on the line last night, you did something that a lot of other coaches wouldn't necessarily have, I'll go ahead and say, the stones to do. You ran a trick play. You did the old double inbounds play, and it worked. Then it worked just the way you guys wanted it to. You've been running that for quite some time. Where did you find that play? You know, was that something that you saw someone else run? And give us a rundown what goes into, you know, making that call there.
Well, I'm sure I stole that from somewhere. If any coach tells you, look, I made this up, I think they're lying. I mean, you got to, you know, you coaches, you watch enough game film, you go to enough clinics and you pick things up from different coaches. And that's just something we have in our, you know, in our playbook, end of a game situation where we inbound the ball. Well, if we can run the baseline, the guy jumps out of bounds, we inbound the ball out of bounds. We don't inbound, we pass it across the baseline and inbound the steps on the court if he's not being guarded. And with 5 seconds left, I need to do a better job of communicating to our kids at the end of that game. Because when Brandon Daniels stepped on the court and we threw the ball back to him, there was no one around him. And if he just holds the basketball, the clock would possibly run out or he gets fouled. And, you know, instead we tried throwing it down the floor to a guy that was open, and we overthrew him. And I don't know, for whatever reason, we just watched the ball go out of bounds, thinking the clock was running out, and it would give them a chance with a second left to possibly get a shot off. But, yeah, it's something, you know, that we have in our arsenal that we work on, and it worked out for us. And, you know, you're right, it's a little trick play, but it's, you know, a lot of the South Terrebonne crowd was yelling, arguing that it was illegal to do. But if you got the baseline after made basket, you can certainly do that. And, you know, it's tricky at one time because you got to make sure the guy inbounding the ball gets both feet established on the court before he catches the ball. And, you know, and watching it live, it looked kind of close. But I'll go back and look, but it worked out for us.
So now a situation where you're probably, you know, and listen, in this strange COVID time, this is a trick question, but considering how you're playing right now, if you look back from the beginning of the year, you feel pretty good about the way your team is. I know you're hoping that they get their legs underneath them, and maybe that'll happen if you can get some consistency going with playing ball games. But you're happy with the way things are going right now as far as the way your kids are producing and playing?
Since day one, I've been extremely happy with this team. We've been playing some pretty good basketball. We competed in just about every game but one that we really got, you know, blown out in. And, you know, that it's coming off a two-week lockdown, if you want. And that Chalmette game, it was like a seven-point game. We're down at half or so. And, you know, we just didn't produce in that second half. But, I'm extremely proud and happy of the way we're playing. We're competing. There's a lot of games, like I said earlier, where at halftime we're winning the game. And just, you know, we got to do a better job as coaches, getting our kids in better positions in that second half to finish games. But, yeah, I'm extremely proud. We've been playing some pretty good basketball.
It won't get easier. You're going to Morgan City. You're going to Ellender next week. Talk about some of the challenges that lie ahead.
Well, it's two athletic teams that we're going to be playing. And Morgan City, I got a couple of, you know, solid guys on the inside, and they can shoot the basketball. If you don't get out and guard them, they can light you up, especially in their gym. You know, the last couple of years we went into that gym, they took it to us. So we're going to have to be ready to play from the start. And, our big guys are going to have to be solid again for us inside. And, you know, you go to Ellen, the House of Pain, if you're not ready to play, they're going to blow you out of the gym. And know, with their big guy on the inside, he's going to pose a problem for us. They're quick guards. They got a couple of shooters. So we're going to take one game at a time. We'll get ready for Morgan City, and, you know, and hopefully our guys can be ready. You know, like last night, Jackson Otak came off the bench for us. And he, I mean, he played exceptionally well. Yeah, I think 9 points. And, you know, Austin Savon started. We took him out a little bit, put him back in. You know, we got some good guys that, you know, they love each other and on the court, and it shows, and they play well together. But, yeah, this coming week will be a challenge for us, both games on the road. But we'll take one game at a time, prepare for Morgan City first, and hopefully we can go in there Tuesday and put a good show on.
Looking ahead just a little bit, you know, you have a very winnable game against Morgan City, quite honestly. When you look at things on paper and the way things have sort of panned out so far with district so far, obviously Ellender may be that team, you know, in the district that you have to rise up and beat, and then you have Assumption left. So let's consider that a lot of people thought that maybe Ellender and Assumption could be the front runners. Of course, with you guys, would you like it any other way except to have those two guys sort of wrapping up your district slate each year?
Yeah, look, I like it where teams are going to think, yeah, it's Ellender and Morgan City, the two best teams, and, you know, just let us down the body, boys. Keep working hard, and we can maybe sneak up on some people. But last year we started district off 3-0, and the second round we only won one game, 20 kids last night, so – it's nice to be 2-0 in district, but we still got to work. 8 games left in the season, so we got to keep working, and it's going to definitely be a challenge for us.
Sounds like a winner. Well, look, Coach, thanks so much for the time, and we'll see you on Tuesday, brother.
I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good day.
You too. That is Tarpon basketball coach Brian Colley doing a great job. They got a big one. It was a very, very big win for their team, and the Lady Tarpons made it a sweep. It was 2 sweeps for the Tarpons as they both, boys and girls, beat Vanderbilt on Tuesday as well. Let's catch a quick break when we get back. We're going to go to an old friend, but at a new school. That's going to be Derek Zush. He's an assistant boys basketball coach at Hanville. And let me tell you something. Those Hanville Tigers are mighty good. We'll talk to him about his team and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
You're invited to start 2021 right now. Right now. On the new Toyota of your choice at Homa's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Homa's number one new car dealer. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joseph the Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joseph the Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joseph at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
The guy that we've had on this show, heck, probably a dozen times over the years, former Assumption boys basketball coach Derek Zush, who's now an assistant coach at Hanville. Coach Zush, good morning, man. How are you?
Oh, good morning, fellas. Happy to be on.
Absolutely, man. New digs this year, talking about the Hanville Tigers. You guys have a very, very good squad. Talk about the way you boys have been playing.
Well, we're on the bench for a little while right now because 2 weeks ago we played De La Salle, who had a positive case. Almost, it was within the 48-hour range after we had played. So we've been sitting for a little while and kind of anxious to get back on the court. You know, we were doing extremely well early in the year. You know, we hit a little bit of a lull the last 2 games. But, you know, a little bit of adversity is not the worst thing for us because any championship team, if you have aspirations doing it, is going to encounter some. you know, and this is our little spot right now. And hopefully get back on the court Monday and take on Dutch Van on Tuesday.
You talked about that a little bit, Derek. And by the way, Happy New Year. I hadn't seen you since the new year started. A little bit related to the last two games. Unfortunately, I lost to East St. John and then I lost to De La Salle, which kind of put y'all in that stoppage of play right now. That being said, is it really hard when you, at one time, you know, PowerPoint ranking-wise, were the top state in Louisiana, now you're at number four, so obviously you're still way up there and doing really well. But is it tough to have this stoppage coming off of two losses where your kids just have to sit and think about it for a while?
A little bit, but the De La Salle game, we actually played pretty well. De La Salle's a more than competent, really good, solid team. You know, we didn't have played bad that game. The night before against East St. John, we did some things that were out of character, and that wasn't us. But we saw improvement the next day, and to be honest, we had a kid that's a little nicked up right now that got hurt the Tuesday of the Terrebonne game, who was kind of playing through it, who's back all the way healthy right now. So this wasn't the worst time to be off to get kind of healthy. Having, Tyron LaBeouf being healthy and back for Tuesday is going to definitely be an advantage to it.
Coach, you guys have some guys who are above the rim and next level talents and some great individual players who play together as a team, which is why you all are having the success. When you took the job there, did you realize that the going would be this good and that you guys had this good of a squad?
I had a good feeling just being an observer of the program. You know, Coach Jasmine and Coach Randolph, Coach LaBeouf that have been there, just have what they do with the team, and I've always respected the program, and especially Coach Jasmine, even against some of the wars we've had at East St. John when I was at Terrebonne. The guy, you know, I wouldn't have just left to go work for anybody. I respect that guy. I'm not on the bench thinking, well, if I was the head coach, I would do this, because 99.9% of the time is exactly what he's doing. It's the relationships he has with the kids is so great. They believe in him. You know, the whole staff works well together. There's some great individual talent, but it all comes from the personal relationship with the kids and the staff that makes them so successful. It's so consistent. I've been around some good coaches before, but the consistency amongst the staff and the players is just amazing throughout the school and throughout the program.
You have a very unique perspective on everything from the standpoint that you were in Lafourche Parish with Thibodaux High, you were in Terrebonne Parish with Terrebonne High, and you were in Assumption Parish with Assumption High School. Now you are at, obviously, Hornville in St. Charles Parish, and we here in the Bay region sometimes wonder what the differences are, whether it's the resources, whether it's, I don't know, just the athletes in general. So, ready, Derek Zush, tell us what the differences are.
You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine, Brett Landry and Danny Landry, last night. And Danny is a former principal at East Thibodaux. He was asking me the same exact question. I was like, a lot of those kids, you know, they come from those areas, maybe, you know, the Lafourche areas where I've been around Thibodaux and then went around Terrebonne. A lot of the good athletes don't make it out of the middle schools or the junior high at the time. And it seems like all of those kids make it to campus at Hornville. And they care more about discipline. Like, you know, if you threaten a kid to write them up, they're fearful of that, you know, because they just know to stay in line. They conform a lot easier, and they end up being more successful. And it's not just because of the athletic programs, anything like that. It starts at the top with the administration of the school, and they do such a good job of it, of managing it. You know, it's just the administration, not knocking anyone that I've worked for before, but it's always consistent. And when you're consistent, things like that can, you know, it breeds success and consistent behavior. So that's kind of the main thing I've noticed. The kids that you kind of lose sometimes in the junior highs and the middle schools in Lafourche and Terrebonne Parish, those kids are still in school, you know, in St. Charles Parish, in my opinion.
Now, Coach, I know that you take a ton of pride in what you do, and I know that while it would be your preference to be a head coach, you're going to be using this time as an assistant coach to learn some things and you know, refine some things. What are some of the things that you've been learning in the past year?
I mean, working with the staff and not just Coach Jasmine, with Coach Randolph and Coach LaBeouf, learned a ton. And the main thing is consistency, kind of like I've kind of been saying in this whole thing, is just remaining consistent. You don't have to yell. You know, there's no cursing on our staff. There's no yelling and screaming or anything like that, because if you remain consistent, the kids remain accountable. You know, that's kind of been the message the whole way through. And, you know, Coach Jasmine's taught me a lot about personal relationships with kids, you know, and it just changes my whole perspective on everything. I don't, like I said, I don't go into a game ever thinking, oh, I would do it this way. No, like, this is the way it's supposed to be done. It's successful. This is the right way. And everybody's got their own way that works for them, obviously. But, like, just sitting back and learning. You know, I talk to my good friends, Andrew Caillouette and, you know, Rich Jones and Tony Clark all the time, too, and just kind of say, man, I'm learning so much. You know, when I decide that I want to go back and try to be a head coach again, man, I've got so much new knowledge that I know, and I'm thankful for, you know, Coach Jazzer and them taking me on.
Let's talk a little bit about East St. John, because, again, they're sort of the unknown to us. Everybody here, when we talk about District 75A, we sort of said, you know, it's Hornville and then everybody else, and then we saw that score. And you mentioned that, you know, let's see when we play this team again. So is it a deal where Hornville is ready to play East St. John again, or is this a deal where, you know, East St. John's a pretty good ball team. We're going to have to play well, obviously. Because the way you guys handled Terrebonne, we thought Terrebonne was very athletic down here. And then when we saw that score, we just thought, oh, my goodness, you know, Hornville is just going to be head and heels above everybody in the district. And we saw that East St. John score. So a little bit about them.
East St. John, man, they're much improved from years past. I think they have more consistency probably at the top. You know, Coach Broadway is doing an awesome job. They took the game personal. And our guys, you know, did some uncharacteristic things. It looks like, you know, has this team been working on certain things? And it looks like they hadn't. But it was a lot of uncharacteristic play, but all credit to them. They kept us off balance here and there by changing defenses. They have some personnel. You know, a kid went 6 or 7 from the three-point line. You know, maybe had a career night that, you know, we were down 16 at one time and came back and took a one-point lead with like a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go before, you know, not being able to finish it. But, no, they're more than solid. You know, wasn't a huge shock that they're still undefeated in district after they beat us. And after the whole LHSA memo came out about, you know, district, you're not going to be awarded a point for winning or anything like that, which kind of decreases the value in district. But I'll tell you, everybody in the Hornville program wants to play St. John one more time.
I understand that, Coach. Now, I know the answer to this was, you know, you and I have kind of talked about it throughout the week. There's got to be a little bit of anxiety, right, where, you know, you guys are number 4 and 5A. You guys want to kind of adjust maybe a little bit towards the back end of that schedule to make sure that you get into the playoffs clean. And what I mean by clean is without anybody, you know, coughing or sneezing on you in the last week of the season, it could potentially put you down.
Absolutely. I mean, we have that last week of the season, we have an open date on a Tuesday. If we were trying to attempt to move that last Friday date further up so we wouldn't play at all the last week of the season. Therefore, even if you played somebody, you know, that had a positive case, your 14 days would be up. You'd be able to compete the Friday of the playoffs, which we were trying to do, but it doesn't look like it's going to be able to happen. It's just too many moving parts with teams quarantining. You know, we're quarantined. Thibodeau's about to come off. Terrebonne's on for an additional week and a half, 2 weeks now. So it's going to be too difficult to try to put it back together. But, you know, that I've been around a lot of good teams, and even the team at Assumption last year, you know, you go in and you're the 4 seed, but you still look ahead and like, man, we run into Peabody, we're going to have some trouble. Running the Carver, we're going to have some trouble. You know, around this team and some of the other good teams I've been around, as long as we get in, you know, there's not a team out there in 5A, not, you know, belittling anybody, but like that we're running into them, we're really going to have some problems the way it was kind of in years past. You know, the team at Hornville is special, man. He's got a special group of, you know, not just from the players, but the staff. Everybody's got their role, and they carry it out, and that's why they continue to be successful.
So what happened, past tense, these last 2 weeks related to what your kids could do? Was it a deal where y'all just told them to stay in shape on their own, or could you do anything together?
Well, see, we separated the programs completely as far as the varsity stays with the varsity. The JV and freshmen stay with the JV and freshmen, never crossed paths. Coach Jasmine was sending his workouts that he was personally doing to keep himself in shape to the kids all the time. You know, just reminding, hey, I'm still staying in shape, so y'all should do the same. And but the freshmen continued to practice because they play in a little league on Saturday mornings in Warren Easton. They got a little extra TLC this week to where all 4 coaches were there, all doing instruction since we didn't have the varsity or the JV to work with. You know, the freshmen got a little bit of extra work, you know, and starting to develop those guys to see what we're going to have for next year.
Very good. Well, look, man, we thank you so much for the time, and we'll be following you guys throughout the rest of the way.
All right. Appreciate it, Casey.
Yes, sir. That is Hornville assistant boys basketball coach Derek Zush doing a great job as always. and they have got a team that has a chance to cut down the nets. And I just couldn't imagine the anxiety, Stan, if you prepare all off season and you do your scouting and something 100% out of your control could potentially take you down. If I were in Coach Zush or Coach Jasmine's shoes, that'd be driving me crazy. And I know it's not anything you could control, so it's not worth worrying about. But even still yet, that would be driving me nuts at this point in time, especially knowing that it's already happened to you and that you're currently shut down. So it's very feasible that it could happen. I don't know, man. That'd be anxiety to me big time.
Well, he had a great point related to maybe stopping play a week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks before the playoffs so that everybody kind of goes in clean. Again, that means that you would still be practicing getting ready for the playoffs if you didn't have any problems with any kind of quarantines on your team. But, yeah, again, no second chances when you get in the playoffs. That's the sad thing. No second chances. You get in, and I think, Casey, and, of course, this is just a thought, I think we're going to see more teams in the basketball playoffs have to opt out than we did in football just because of what we've been going through lately. And one problem can cause a lot of problems with basketball. So I worry about that. But, you know, let's hope. And, you know, I read the Gazette every day with your trends and the way things are going. Let's hope that trend keeps on going down related to positive tests.
Yeah, things are starting to slowly get better, and we're hopeful that we could continue to get things turning in the right direction. For that district, man, if you look at the playoff chase, there's so many teams that need those games in the back end of the schedule. It's clustered there. You got Destrehan at 31, Thibodeau at 33, H.L. Bourgeois and, you know, Central Lafourche and Terrebonne are kind of on the outskirts, but with a couple of wins, they could potentially jump up. It's going to be fun. That 5A district is always fun, but it's going to be super fun to see because it's not out of the realm of possibility that a Central Lafourche or, you know, an H.L. Bourgeois could upset one of those teams and maybe catapult. What I'm getting at is that every Tuesday and every Friday, there's going to be some results that are going to have huge implications on the bracket coming down the stretch.
Yeah, no doubt. And the other thing is we don't know how to read the power rankings this year. You just said it, you know, so let's say H.L. Bourgeois sitting at number 40, right? In years past, if you were sitting at number 40 at this time of the year, there's a pretty good chance you weren't getting inside the top 32 to get into that 32-team bracket. I don't know how that's going to play out this year. I don't know if you could go from 40 to, say, 30 in the snap of a finger, or is it going to be a deal where – and then remember this. If there's a team out there that doesn't have 12 games, they automatically drop out of that bracket. Because there are some teams right now that are sitting with about 8 games, and I realize they'll probably get their 12 in, but they're sitting with 8 games right now, and they have really good power rankings, a.k.a. Woodlawn High School in football, who really played the minimum and had a great ranking. Of course, we found out they were pretty good, too. But that all being said, you just don't know how to look at the PowerPoints right now and understand. I don't know if a team who's sitting at number 43 right now still has the opportunity to get inside 32 in a 32-team bracket.
Fascinating. It's going to be fun to follow. Let's catch a quick break when we get back. We're going to shift gears for a minute and talk some football with Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
It's time to rise and grind. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
What do I do with the number one overall pick? I know the New York Jets are sitting there at number two. Everyone seems to think that Joe Douglas says that he's going to go lock and step with whoever he hires as a head coach to make a decision on Sam Darnold's future. But let's assume that that person moves on from Sam Darnold or want to move on from Sam Darnold. I'm Urban Meyer, and I like Justin Fields because I help recruit him. I know him, and I'm sitting at the number one spot. And the Jets are at two. What I would do is pick up the phone to the Jets and say, hey, we're interested in Trevor Lawrence, but we hear you are too. You want to trade it and move one spot up? I tell you what, give me everything that you got in the first round this year, and I'll let you jump in front of me and take that spot to get Trevor Lawrence, because I really want Justin Fields without you really knowing that.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, your smart speaker, or on ESPN News.
We have spent the entirety of our first 45 minutes here on the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute, talking high school basketball. Now we go to the phone lines and we'll talk some high school football with Gary Hill, the Terrebonne football coach on the line. Coach Hill, good morning, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourselves?
Fine, man, fine. Good. I understand that you guys got an unwanted two-week vacation. Talk about, you know, what that's going to do to your off-season program there at Terrebonne High.
Well, you know, the kids are not in, but they're good. They're going to school virtually, and the teachers are at the building in our classrooms by ourselves and, you know, doing everything online through Google. But like you said, the off-season program comes to a halt because, you know, we're not able to get in the weight room, and it's hard to lift weights virtually, you know, while they're online in front of a computer screen. So, you know, we're just going to have to come up and get creative and maybe create some challenges of them filming themselves doing activities that associate to what we need them to be doing to keep getting better, and, you know, maybe create some competition and find a way to see who can maybe win while we're not in school and not in the weight room in person, but, you know, get them to compete against each other and make sure that they continue to do what they need to do to get better and be ready for the season.
Gary, in January and February, I know you guys as head coaches are sitting around sort of jotting down exactly what you're going to do for spring football, the date that your kids are going to report, what you're going to implement, how you're going to implement it, lining up a spring game if you choose to line up a spring game. What is that like right now, and are you kind of going forward with that?
Oh, you know, I don't think it ever stops. You know, the second that the season ends, you know, only one team ends with a victory. And, you know, so the second the season ends, we kind of went to the drawing board on what to do for off season to start getting better on what our weaknesses were for the year before for the kids we have returning. And we started attacking that right away before Christmas as far as trying to improve, you know, strength and skill sets and agility and speed for those group of young men. And then you start looking at your personnel, like you said, when you get into January and you see the guys that are working and who's going to want it the most and who's competing to get better. And, you know, you kind of start and you stop. You know, Christmas break was there, and then, you know, we get back and we're moving, and then now this. And, you know, the one thing I can tell you is for adults, I think it's pretty frustrating. And you kind of get in that groove and you get in that rhythm. But, you know, unfortunately for our players and the kids in school, you know, they've gotten to where this seems pretty normal to them, and it's kind of the norm. So they're starting to find ways to just accept it and keep moving forward. So hopefully they're working on their own. But it's absolutely, you know, it's killer to a football program or a basketball program, any sport, to start, stop, have to start back up. You know, because when we get back in and we got to start playing games, all those games that got to be made up, I'm sure it's going to be tough on those teams to go out and perform without practicing and then still be in shape to perform well and get what they're expected to out of their season.
Coach, I know that you guys are in a situation where some of your non-district schedule is made for you and that you're mandated that you got to play South Terrebonne and Ellender. But outside of that, who are you guys going to be looking to play in the upcoming year?
We redrew as a district, so we're no longer going to have that bye week in week 8. Our bye week's moved to week 6, and we've got something working with Holy Cross in that week where they're going to come to us, and we're going to end up playing on a Thursday that week, but we'll have Holy Cross come to town. And then our week 1 game right now, still we're trying to iron that out. You know, people trying to figure out if it's going to be a 1 week or a 3 week type thing, and I'm sorry, 1 year, 3 year type thing as far as the contract goes. But we've got some talks in the area, you know, maybe a little bit with St. James. We have Como out of Lafayette. And we're just trying to see where all that's going to end up and whatever contract's going to work best to try and be ready for the next year when you got to redo districting and then go from there. So I think we'll always have that week six for the next 3 years. But, you know, on the Holy Cross side, they're not guaranteed to have it. So we've got a one-year deal with them, and we'll see where we fall when that comes up.
Related to Nicholls State football, obviously they're going to be playing in the spring in just a few weeks, and they open up with Lamar. One of my favorite Tigers that ever played for you is Chaz Ward. He is certainly a contributor to Lamar, and I think A.J. Ruffin, too, if those guys are still there, because quite honestly, to be honest, I hadn't looked in the last couple of months. But that ought to be kind of neat, because here in the spring you might have an opportunity to go support those kids, right?
That is absolutely correct, and they're both still there. TJ is really performing well. I even think he's been their Iron Cardinal there in the fall while they weren't playing and doing all their training, so he was like their player of the month. And, you know, they called to tell me that was going to happen, and I thought that was pretty big of their coaches to reach out to us and tell us how our kids are performing. And they're more than happy with the way Chaz has gone in and done what he's needed to do, and then TJ and, you know, they were over there all fall training, trying to get better, ready to play. And, you know, they're going to get their opportunity to have their sophomore season this year. And I'm looking forward to being able to see them play. You know, they were just great kids. And I see them every time they come into town. And, you know, it's always nice to get to talk to them and see how they're improving. And, I mean, I didn't recognize them at first because I saw how much work they've done and changed their bodies. And, it's quite impressive to see how kids do that. And I think there's a chance that they're playing New Mexico Highlands as well, which would actually give us a chance to maybe see how Dijon Scott and Randall Hartman are doing. And if they can get on the field as freshmen out there, if they get that opportunity to play Nicholls as well at home.
Very good. Coach, you're a veteran. You've been coaching now for, you know, quite some time. And I'm always curious because – on one hand, you want to have continuity within your program and you want things to be the same. But on the other hand, you want to kind of tweak things and evolve things as the game changes. How do you balance that? What are some of the things, you know, at Terrebonne that you guys are constantly trying to tweak, but what are some of those foundational things that always have to stay the same?
I think foundationally, I don't think football's ever going to change from being physical. You know, you got to get these kids to be physical and want to be tough. And, you know, that's not just playing through maybe a little bit of a health issue or a slight little injury, you know, to where they're not completely hurt. You know, we're talking about just playing physical up front, using your pads well, doing your techniques right, and just not letting the other person dominate you or take your gap. And then I think tackling is a big part of football that's never going to change. You know, if you can't tackle, you're not going to get off the field. You're going to give up points. You're not going to get your offensive ball in good field position to take advantage of it. And, you know, being physical and tackling is always going to be the basis of football up front. And, you know, after that, it's just about execution as far as the basic fundamentals, you know, the timing of the run game or pass plays or filling the right gap, learning how to attack when you stun or blitz. You know, with your linebackers getting skinny to where they're not blocked. And, you know, do you spill it 1 year because you got speed to get to the outside, or do you play force and make it cut back to your better tacklers on the inside? You know, so you got to adjust some things with your personnel on defense, not just offense. And then offensively, you know, you have to see if you got a guy that can You got to see if you got a guy that can manipulate a defense with their eyes and can throw the ball well enough to attack soft spots and read it quick enough as well. And then if you don't have that, you got to find a way to get some passing game in there to keep people from jumping in the box and trying to take away the run game. And then in run game, are you strong enough to, you know, just run a lot of inside zone and put people backwards and win the line of scrimmage early and let your backs be backs? Or do you have to start pulling people? Do you have to put the quarterback in run game? Do you need to get some more jets? Are you an inside team or an outside team? So there's a lot of things you got to look at. And, you know, you can't really – you can guess all you want, and then when you get to practice, you might have been wrong. You might have been right, you know, and we can tweak this a little bit here, tweak this a little bit there. But, I mean, the amount of people that are running buck sweep right now tells you that the wing tee's kind of making that swing back around even out of the spread because, you know, if you watched the Saints last week, you know, they ran buck sweep with Kamar, and then you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that aren't running buck sweep at all, but – Alabama ran a lot of buck sweep this year. So a lot of those things are just kind of, you know, football's football. It kind of comes back around. People learn how to attack that, and you just switch back to something else. You know, and Urban Meyer ran a lot of swing, single wing concepts when he was at Florida. So those are the things that I look at as football, is everything kind of comes back around. People tweak it here. Maybe the athletes change in how you do it and what you do with it. But, you know, it's going to come back around. It's going to get better. And, you know, I think option's starting to make another little bit of return. You know, the triple option out of the spread game where the guy just run into the numbers as a slot receiver. He's the pitch man out of that one back set. So it's coming back around, and, you know, it's just going to be, can you adjust and can you players execute what you need them to, and can you put them in the right spots?
Well said. I also think that people don't realize, especially related to Terrebonne High School, like consistency with coaching staff certainly matter. And that's something that you've had. You've had a group of guys, a core group of guys, and I hope I'm not putting any kind of jinx on you, that are going to stay there and be there, and they have been there. Is that pretty much staying the same? I mean, obviously, it's still a little early, and I know guys get jobs later in the school year. But for the most part, between you and maybe South Terrebonne with Richie Curlin when he was there, a lot of those guys stuck around. Terrebonne has coaches that have been there, and it's pretty consistent, right?
Oh, yeah. We definitely have a lot of loyalty to our staff. You know, we've lost one or two through the years maybe to, you know, increasing their role at a school that they graduated from. And, you know, if he's listening right now, that would be Chris Dugas. You know, he was our offensive coordinator for a while, and he's now the head coach at Thibodeau. And we're still great friends, and we still bounce ideas. And but for the most part, you know, if a coach has left Terrebonne, it's been something that's happened, you know, for their family. You know, we had Zach Chauvin for a number of years. He was a tremendous coach for us. And, you know, he ended up having quadruplets, and he had to get out of coaching altogether to handle that situation. And, you know, he was an excellent coach. He did a lot of great things for us. And unfortunately, you know, life changed for him, and he had to get out of what his passion was and go into other opportunities to be the father figure that he needed to be. But, you know, that's always the most important thing, is, you know, it's always family first, and then, you know, we go to team second. But we've had some great coaches that have been with us and, you know, maybe had an opportunity, but for the most part, we've had a lot of loyalty. Guys have moved up in our staff to become coordinators, and, you know, they've been with us. They know our kids. They know what we want to try and implement. They know our system. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that you can do is try and establish that discipline with these kids, so when the next group comes in and that work ethic of how things go in the weight room, that kind of just always coincides. And I think it's starting to show in our years as a program, you know, with the kids that are at Lamar, and then you got Ja'Kai now at Florida State, and we got Mason at LSU, and now we've got Jalen, Caden, and Donovan Harris, and that group of young men starting to, you know, get their offers to come in, and it's just always going down the line. When those college coaches call you back and say, "Coach, your kids come in, they know what to do, they're on time, they're in meetings on time, they're doing this, they're doing that, we're really happy with them," then that tells us and that affirms what we're doing as a staff on trying to get these kids ready for an opportunity to play the next level and get that free education.
Very good. Well, look, Coach, thanks so much for the time, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
All right. Y'all have a great one. Stay safe, and we thank everything y'all do for high school athletics.
Our pleasure,
thanks,
brother.
Coach.
That is Coach Gary Hill doing a great job, as always. We look forward to seeing what they're going to do out of this little shutdown. I know it's a short-term setback, and they're going to bounce back in stride. Let's go ahead and catch a quick break. When we get back, there's a lot going on in the world of sports. We'll tell you about it. Talk some Nicholls football. They made some announcements in the past couple of days. Some general Nicholls basketball, LSU. We'll have just a general, you know, Colonels and Tigers segment coming up to start hour two. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingale here from Men's Total Health. With the new year comes new resolutions. One of them needs to be visit Men's Total Health. Low T can produce physical and emotional changes. Get tested. I did. See where you stand. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, help with ED, even IV therapy. Visit Men's Total Health today, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call or go online at menstotalhealth.net and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
It's an exciting time right now because a lot of the things that we kind of pushed back are now starting to be, you know, in a place where we're going to start to be paying off those debts in a minute. And what I mean by that is Nichols football pushed their season back to the spring, and they're going to be rolling here in just a couple weeks. The Colonels announced a couple of things that excited some folks, and then maybe a couple of things that were kind of a downer to some folks, is that they announced that they're going to be starting their season 1 week earlier. And I think that the school that Coach Hill talked about a minute ago, New Mexico Military Academy or whatever it may be, I think that's the opponent they're targeting for that February 19th date, which would be the start of their season.
I do have an update on that. So it's not going to be New Mexico Highlands. It's actually going to be Savannah State.
So okay, Savannah well, there you State, go. Stan breaking news.
Some of you may recognize that name because at the beginning of the regular NCAA football years in past years, Savannah State was that team that would get pommeled by, you know, like Ohio State or something like that in the first game of the year. It sounds like if all things are, you know, if the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, that it's actually going to be on the 19th of February, which is a Friday night. There is a chance that you would have the opportunity to go see Nichols play baseball against Eastern Illinois earlier in the day and then see the Colonels play their first game of the 2021 football slate that night, Friday night, in John L. Guidry. There was some talk that it might even be on the 18th, which is the Thursday night. So that might not be etched in stone yet, but my understanding is that it's 99% sure that it's going to be Savannah State and not New Mexico Highlands. Now, a lot of people don't realize what the tie-in is to New Mexico Highlands. New Mexico Highlands is now coached defensively as defensive coordinator by Jeremy Atwell, who used to be at Terrebonne High School, was head coach at Vanderbilt, and was defensive coordinator at Nichols State. So that's sort of was why a lot of people thought that might be happening, but unfortunately, it looks like that fell through. And the reason I say unfortunately is that Coach Atwell has a couple of Terrebonne kids playing for him at New Mexico Highlands. So I hope that makes some kind of sense, Casey.
No, it does, and it's great information. We're happy to hear it. So it looks like Savannah State will be the opener leading into that all-conference schedule. I know folks are very excited about that. What's kind of a little bit of a Debbie Downer, its capacity at Guidry Stadium will be limited to 3,000 fans, no tailgating. But, man, I mean, look, it's just the world in which we live. I mean, that's just going to be the way it's going to be. You're going to have to distance out. Tickets will be limited. Most important thing is if you want to watch the Colonels, man, get your tickets early. Get your tickets now. You've got an opportunity to secure your spot. If you wait until Saturday morning and decide, you know, we're going to pack up the family, go to the stadium, you might not have a spot. So act early if you want to go watch those guys play. Nichols is still going to be really good. They have started their practices in the preseason. And hearing all reports, they're optimistic and they've got a lot of things rolling. I expect another solid year for them.
I would also hope that if we don't have the good fortune of being one of those guys at John L. Guidry, that there might be some other kind of outlet that we could watch the games if we choose to. Listen, you're opening up with Lamar. It's a really good football schedule, too, because you got Lamar and Sam Houston in there, two really good teams, obviously, from the Texas area that you won't see in the future. I think this is probably the last year we'll see them taking on those two schools because those are two of the schools who are going to be leaving that particular conference. And then you have the traditional rivalries with the state schools. You know, the Riverbell Trophy is still going to be given after the Southeastern game, which ends up the year. You still have Northwestern State, so the Battle of the NSUs. You still have McNeese in there. So a lot of good football will be played, and this is the thing I love the most. These guys were just playing, and then after that Southeastern game, the last game of the year, that was it. You know, I'm still happy we have football, But it's kind of like a, boy, and I hate to even say this, a glorified spring. But with the situation of there being a football championship series, I mean, where they're going to have a playoff and you are going to have somebody named your NCAA champion, that is awesome. And Nichols has been there for the last, what, 3 or 4 years, and let's hope they're there again. And, yeah, I'm kind of excited about this. As a matter of fact, Casey, it all gets started this Thursday. The volleyball team is taking on Southern Miss. So, you know, you have volleyball that's going to be playing. You have soccer that's going to be playing. Obviously, you have baseball, but they were supposed to play anyway in there. But it's kind of neat to have all these sports playing. Logistically, I'm sure there's some folks on the campus at Nichols that think it's a nightmare. But for all of us just general sports fans, I think it's really great.
Just hoping for good health, because and the reason why I say it like that is now with this all being kind of clumped together, if a running back gets an ACL injury, he's now missing 2 seasons instead of one with the way that they're going to be lumped back-to-back. So hopefully we can get this in clean and we'll make it work. But I'm hopeful that they're going to make the most out of a sticky situation. Let's talk a little bit of LSU basketball here. It's something that we've kind of neglected here on the show, even though LSU had been off to a really good start. But that good start came to a crashing halt earlier in the week as the Tigers were second place in the conference behind Alabama. Well, number one met number two, and number two didn't like the result. Alabama beat LSU 105-75. So what say you, Stan? Do you think this team is just not at that level, or you think just a wake-up call? They're playing Kentucky today. Don't feel intimidated by that, Tiger fans. Kentucky's not very good. This is a game LSU's probably actually going to be favored to win, even on the road. So do you think that LSU's going to bounce back, or do you think that, you know, man, they're just kind of sloppy?
LSU is the prime example that you can't just get a bunch of really, really good athletes and kind of throw them out there. The thing that worries me is that Alabama game sort of had that moniker of if something goes wrong, you just shut it down, and that's kind of what it was like, and that's a little scary. Now, I will say this. John Brady, who obviously does color commentary for LSU and was a terrific coach over at LSU, was at Sports on the Bayou at HTV, so he had the opportunity to speak, and there was a very limited crowd there, so we all sat around and on the side listened to him speak a little bit. And he talked about that LSU team, and in his talk, you got the sense that this team knows they're very talented, but there are some sort of obstacles to come overcome. And the thing that I thought was really interesting was, man, Will Wade got angry in that game, right? I mean, he kind of lost it. You could tell just the way some of the kids' reaction was and stuff. There's still a maturation process that goes on. That's the one thing about college basketball on the highest level these days. A lot of those guys come in for such a short period of time, they never really fall in line with what the program is about. I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever. Even Kentucky, you know, we thought Kentucky was that team that could pull in a kid for a year or two, and that kid was going to fall into that blue blood program and stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, those guys are like 4-9 right now on the year.
Yeah.
So all of this being said, it takes time. Now, you said something that I thought was pretty interesting. You said, is this a deal where it was a wake-up call, or maybe is this team not quite as good as what we think? I think it's a wake-up call. I really do. I think we're going to learn a lot against Kentucky later on. I think that's a 5 o'clock start. If they go in that one and they lay an egg up in Lexington, I'm going to worry a little bit. But if they go out and they play well today, I think, and we say this all the time on Saturday morning, I think it's a deal where LSU is going to learn more in that loss than they maybe could have in a bad win against a lesser team.
You know what's crazy is that, you know, we talk about, oh, one and done. All of the quote-unquote one-and-done programs this year are not any good. Louisville's out of the top 25. UConn's out of the top 25. Duke, North Carolina, Michigan State, Kentucky, it just goes to show that, yeah, while it's great to have these guys come in and go to the NBA and this, that, and the other, with that little bit of adversity that's been dealt with, you know, with the lack of an off season, whatever it may be, Some of the teams or the programs with the 3 and 4 year players, the Gonzagas, the Baylors, the Villanovas, they're the teams that are actually winning right now. We're going to see a March Madness stand that's not going to look anything like in years past, where several of those blue blood teams are not even going to make the tournament at all.
But doesn't this go back to what we've said, whether it be basketball or any sport, related to if you have a mature team, if you have a senior-laden team, and I don't even know if it has to be senior-laden, excuse me. I think it just has to be leadership-laden. You know, like there's something there, there's some substance. They're totally bought in to the scheme. They're totally bought in to the philosophy of what that coach has. They are the ones who move forward, and I don't think that all of these sort of blue bloods you just mentioned that are struggling this year, they don't have that. I'm not saying in a non-pandemic year in the future they get it back, because you're right, they're going to be around the program a lot more. Even though it might only be a year, they'll be in that gym with that particular coach a lot more than what they are now with the pandemic. But, yeah, I would agree that this year it's pretty wide open. And I'm going to tell you another sport that's going to affect, and that's the spring sports of baseball and softball. I think we may not see some of those, you know, yearly guys who go to the World Series for college baseball or for women's softball. It may look a little different this year just because of COVID and players who have been shifting schools so much, man. There's so many kids at different schools than what they were in the past years. So and that's going to be a 2-year cycle. I think that'll be this year and next year. And boy, I just have to throw my 2 cents on this. I hope baseball and softball get to carry on with their schedules. I know we've been in a situation where all the other sports are kind of sputtering along, but at least they're sputtering. Remember, folks, baseball and softball got shut down last year. So let's hope that they have at least the opportunity to sputter along. You know, because, man, I hate to see a 2-year cycle of them not getting to play.
Yeah, based on the intel that we're getting from, you know, medical experts and everything, we're hopefully in the next 90 or so days going to see very, very real progress in terms of vaccinations and getting this thing starting to move the giant out of the way a little bit. And I know it's going to be a long couple of months ahead, but hopefully, as you said, we could get all these things in. Very quickly before our next break, Stan, LSU still does not have a defensive coordinator. Ryan Nielsen was going to be that guy. The Saints didn't let him out of his contract and gave him a new title. Getting a little concerned that LSU is having a hard time finding that, you know, a guy to fill that position.
Well, like every other LSU fan, you get to a point where you wonder if they're settling, you know, or are you settling for a guy because you couldn't get the other guys. I don't know. I think there are a lot of really smart football coaches out there, so I would trust that Coach Ogeron is going to still dig and find that guy. And if it's some new young guy that we don't know a lot about, I will hold my judgment, because there are defensively those Bradys of the world out there, and let's hope that they go out and find one of those guys.
Well, you just got to be able to coach a unit that doesn't have coverage bust that allows a receiver to run 50 yards down the field unguarded, and then you'll maybe make an improvement. So the bar is set a little bit pretty low, and hopefully Coach Ogeron could find one of those guys, and we're hopeful that he will. LSU has gotten past the deadline for the NFL draft. They're going to be returning 20 of 22 starters. So I just go to show that they're going to have a lot of talent coming back after losing a lot of talent in the previous season. So let's catch a break when we get back. Go ahead, Stan.
No, I was going to say, yeah, that's a great thing, especially the way they ended the year. If they wouldn't have ended the year like that, I'm not so crazy about having everybody back, but the way they ended their year, I'm fine with it.
Absolutely. So let's catch a break. When we get back, we'll talk about the Saints after a heartbreaking defeat in the postseason last week against Tampa Bay in the Dome. We'll talk about the future because, man, it's looking kind of murky. You're listening to the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Hello, 2021.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ramsey.
My oldest son.
When my grandfather opened his doors to the public, my mom and dad hadn't even met yet.
I remember when they met, and I remember when you were born.
Bob Ramsey was an incredibly talented jewelry designer, just like his daughter. my Aunt Lori.
I always did like you, Bobby.
Lori, what do you and the design team have planned for us in 2021?
Robert, we're going to be unveiling some new engagement rings that no one has ever seen before.
Unique in all the world?
Unique in all the world.
Lori, what do you look forward to in 2021?
I look forward to everyone smiling again. I want to be surrounded by smiling faces.
I'm a big fan of smiling faces.
Me too. I believe 2021 is going to be a year of love, happiness, and joy.
Love, happiness, and joy.
Love, happiness, and joy.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana. Unique in all the world. On Veterans between Bonneville and West End.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Bart and Han.
When you think about a guy that's talented like Joel Embiid, and you know, Joel has always said that he wanted to be down low and use his dominance because he's the best low post big man in the game. Look at what he's been able to do now, because they went out and they built a team around him that's conducive to him being the star, not Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid, until he eats his way out of the league or gets injured, is the more dominant of the two.
Barton Hahn, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
It was a big disappointment last weekend as the Saints fall at home in the divisional round of the NFL NFC playoffs, losing to Tampa Bay. Casey Gisclair here with Stan Gravois and Wilbert Rhodes, joining you on this beautiful Saturday morning. Well, actually, not beautiful. It's kind of an ugly Saturday morning. But anyway, it's always a beautiful day whenever we could talk sports with you all. Gentlemen, the Saints were in position. They were in the lead in the second half, had the ball, were driving, and you know, then turnover bug bit them, and they just couldn't get out of their own way there for a lot of the second half, losing to Tampa 30-20. Some final thoughts, I guess, as we kind of put a bow in New Orleans this season as Tampa moves on to the next round and New Orleans goes home.
Willie, take over.
Okay. I'm going to say this. The better team lost that game. It's evident because they were – okay, Tom Brady and the Bucs couldn't score the ball if they didn't get the ball in the – in their own territory. Once they got the ball, every time they scored, they got the ball in Saints territory off of a turnover. So the better team, the Saints stopped them. Every time they had to drive the field, the Saints would stop them. It's just they couldn't get, like Casey said, they couldn't get out of their own way. They just turnover after turnover after turnover. Oh, my. I can't.
But don't you think somewhere along the line, and I don't necessarily disagree with you that the Saints are a better football team, but don't you think somewhere down the line, and boy, this has been hard for me because I never obviously was a big New England fan. You know, I wanted the Saints to win the Super Bowl. I didn't want the Patriots to win it all those years they wanted. And then when people would talk about the greatest ever, I would think, man, you got to look at what Drew Brees is doing. He's playing here in New Orleans and he doesn't have that market. And then I think that game made me realize not necessarily all the time what Tom Brady does. Sometimes it's what he doesn't do. And what he doesn't do is turn the ball over in big situations.
Yep.
And somewhere along the line, you have to give credit that makes you a better team. I mean, you know, it was one of those sense of reality type things. Now, obviously, and I think you guys both feel this way, man, when Jerry Cook was running down the field with that ball and they had, I think it was a 7-point lead, mm-hmm. and he was running and he was at the 40 and then he was now at the 37, I'm going, this game's over. We got it. We're going to score again, get a 2-score lead. And then I saw that guy coming from behind and I saw the way Jerry Cook had the football. And I don't know if y'all felt the same, but the air just went out. Now, listen, the Saints still had a 7-point lead. But when they recovered the fumble, that being Tampa Bay, and they returned it a ways, I just lost all confidence in winning that game. I don't know if it was the same for y'all.
We couldn't drive. We couldn't move the ball. Like, we could not move the ball. Like, I said this. I say this a million times. The key to stopping Kamara is having a linebacker that can cover him. And that's what happened. They had two linebackers. They had Devin White, who can cover just about anybody. And it was just stagnant. But to his credit, Drew missed Kamara on some plays because Kamara was wide open on some plays where nobody was around him. And it's just Devin White was everywhere. I don't know how many tackles he ended up with. And my guess had to be at least 15. But he was everywhere.
Fellas, you know, it's difficult to say this because of the career he's had and this, that, and the other. And, you know, and this is going to end up probably being his last game, so it makes it even more difficult. But you're in a divisional round playoff game at home in a dome on a turf field with no weather, no hindrance. 19 of 34 with 134 yards passing and three interceptions just isn't good enough. And you know, I know there are some challenges there. You know, I know that, you know, the lack of weaponry or whatever it may be, and, you know, some injury concerns that he, you know, his family has kind of expressed after the season ended. And I understand all that. But at the end of the day, 3.9 yards per attempt is not going to beat anybody in a postseason game. It just is what it is. And it's unfortunate that it ends that way for him, as he probably deserves better than that. But I look at the other guy who's 43, almost 44. He's not turning over the ball. He's still making plays. But Drew Brees is noticeably starting to slow down a little bit. And it's unfortunate, but at the end of the day, the team with the better quarterback is the team that won the game.
Well, to piggyback off of that just a little bit, obviously one of the better plays for the Saints in that game was when Jameis Winston threw that touchdown. Although I think I could have gone through that touchdown pass because Torrey Smith was so wide open. I thought it interesting that they put Jameis in the game for that particular play. Because to me, if I'm Tampa Bay, I would have been more alarmed that Jameis might throw the ball than if Drew Brees would have thrown the ball, because Drew Brees does line up out there sometimes, if you get what I'm saying. So that being said, when it took Jameis Winston to throw the ball down the field, I thought, that Drew Brees is having some kind of problem where he can't throw the ball down the field, or at least efficiently down the field. They may have been right. Then it makes you wonder if maybe it was 1 year too much. Now, that being said, I'm glad he stuck around a year. Listen, I think, you know, Drew Brees at 75% is just about everybody else in the NFL at 100%. So I do appreciate that. But I guess the part is that still sad is when that game was over, we all felt a sense of not only was it a loss in the playoff, not only was it a loss in the playoffs in the last 4 years when the Saints just couldn't get it done. And listen, mind you, I know they beat the Bears last week, or the week before, I should say now. But, man, the Bears might have been the worst team in the NFL. I mean, they needed to win that one. So that's, I don't even count that as a playoff win. But what we found out was is that this might be the end of an era, such a great era since Katrina. We've been so fortunate, and who knows if we're going to see that going forward.
$97 million over the salary cap, and whether Drew Brees plays or not, he's counting $40 million against your salary cap next season. So it's slash and burn time. And you look, and I think everybody knows that it's slash and burn time, as you look, they've been able to hold their staff together under the guise of, we're going to try to go all in and win another one. But now you see Dan Campbell leave. You see, you know, the defensive backs coach leave. You see Dennis Allen taking interviews to be a head coach. And I understand these are all promotions. So, I mean, these guys would be leaving for better jobs elsewhere. But all those same opportunities were available in previous off seasons. Your assistant general manager leaves. They're all leaving now. And the reason why I think they're leaving now is because they know it's going to be a rough 2 or 3 years where you're going to be looking at guys who are going to be leaving, as you're just not going to have enough money to pay all of them. And, you know, you're given all these big contracts, and now you got to pay the piper, and you're going to lose your depth, and you're not going to be as good on special teams because of it. When guys get injured, your backups aren't going to be as good because of it, and it's going to be just this snowball effect that's going to lead to the Saints just not being as good of a football team. But, fellas, one thing that I want to talk to you all about, very interesting. I'm very observant. I like to study a lot of body language and different things of the sort. Whenever the game's outcome had officially, you know, been reached, Drew Brees, you know, was walking to the sidelines. He went over and whispered something to Jameis Winston, not to Taysom Hill, to Jameis Winston. And Sean Payton has been vocal in previous weeks of, we like Jameis Winston, we want to re-sign him, and you know, we think he's got a place here. We've always heard Hill was the next guy. Do you all think that there's going to be a situation where Jameis Winston's going to be under center to start next season?
I believe so. I believe it would be Jameis Winston because, I mean, you already got Taysom Hill like through contract next season, but, I mean, Jameis Winston is the cheaper option, you know, because he really didn't do anything this year, so you got to bring him back because it won't cost you much of anything. And, I mean, he's a number one pick for a reason. He threw 5,000 yards. Let's just negate the 30 picks he threw for, but he threw for 5,000 yards. I mean, he can throw the ball. It's just you got to coach him up on the turnovers.
Yeah, and if you listen to the professional lip sync readers, they said basically what Drew Brees said was, hey, this team is yours now. You know, this is your team now. If that is correct, well, I guess we should assume that he might take the lead. And I'll say this. Maybe it's a deal where Sean Payton looked at Jameis Winston and said, you're going to come here and you're going to sit for a year because you started way too early when you were in Tampa Bay. You were too young. You were too immature. And we're going to teach you because you're going to sit and watch Drew Brees and you're going to learn more than you ever thought you could learn. And I'm going to teach you more about offense than you ever thought you can learn. And you're going to have this 1 year where you're just going to soak it all in and you're going to learn it. And we're going to go forward with that. Maybe that's the deal. And again, as Willie said, you would save a lot of money by doing it that way. So I don't doubt that that'll happen. And obviously he had flashes of being a really good quarterback with Tampa Bay. Yeah, listen, Drew Brees threw 3 interceptions in that game last week. I don't know if Jameis Winston could have topped that, you know. So, you know, I guess going forward, what I'm saying is maybe the Saints' next quarterback is on that roster, and it's not Taysom Hill.
I was rooting for Jameis, though. I was like, just like that Rocky scene, just throw in the towel. Like, just put Jameis in. It's like, what do we have to lose at this point? Like, just put him in.
Let me say this before, because I said this at the very beginning of the year, and boy, when I said it tongue-in-cheek. I didn't think it would ever come to fruition. I said that if Tom Brady led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the NFC Championship game and even further to the Super Bowl, that I would just, that's it. He's the best that ever played, and he's the best that will ever play. And that's what he did to Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, yeah, well, wait a minute. They surrounded him with a lot of really good talent. So are you saying any of the Tampa Bay running backs better than Alvin Kamara? I don't think they are. Are you saying any of the Tampa Bay wide receivers better than Michael Thomas? And I know Michael Thomas didn't play all year. And if we want to start another debate, I'm not sure Michael Thomas is that motivated right now. I don't know what other word to use. If you say that the Saints had a lesser tight end than Tampa Bay, I would say Jerry Cook was every bit as good as Gronkowski this year, although I guess we don't look at the blocking part of it all as much as right. We should. But all of that being said, it's pretty amazing what Tom Brady did this year. And like I said, I never was a huge fan, but boy, I got to tell you, I've become a huge fan. Not so much so that I hope that they beat Green Bay. Actually, I don't care who wins that game. I don't care. That's a good question. Is anybody watching football going forward now that the Saints are out? Casey, I know you will. Willie, I'm not sure if you don't want to be around the television.
Stan, to your point, you know, the thing with Brees in the last few years is he'll start off okay, but he doesn't heal from the nicks and bruises, and over the year he becomes a dented can. Tom Brady's 43, and in his last 6 games, he has 16 touchdowns and 1 interception. That's
wow.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
And
they've won all 6 games.
43. Do y'all find that Drew Brees is kind of looking his age, and he's kind of And listen, he's a great guy. He is the best thing that has ever happened to the New Orleans Saints. I'm not trying to, you know, say otherwise. But you look at Drew Brees and you're like, man, that guy looks 30, you know? So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's we're seeing some, and I talk about this on social media all the time, and I understand that a lot of folks in the area don't like him because, you know, they, you know, cheating scandals and whatever it may be. And that's all fine. That's all well and good. You're entitled to whatever opinion you want. I just hope that fans realize that we will never see this again. We're not going to see the 6, maybe 7, maybe 8-time Super Bowl champion quarterback again because he may not be finished. We're never going to see the guy who's 43 years old with 16 touchdowns and one interception in the, you know, final 6 games of a year. I just want folks to understand and appreciate what we're seeing is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Let's catch a quick break when we get back. NFC, AFC Championship segment. We'll break both of those matchups down in the next segment.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started. And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit TGMC.com.
G-Shawn, Jay Will, and Zubin.
Would I have sat on my moral high horse if I were Joe Judge? No. Would I have taken a shot at an opponent? No. Was he wrong? Yes. Do I love it? Yes. I love this as a Giants fan because he's endearing himself to New York, a guy who is blue-collar, who wants to work hard, and he doesn't like the Eagles.
G-Shawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I understand that there are a lot of folks in Southeast Louisiana that are not altogether excited about the NFC and AFC championship games because of the way the Saints season ended. But I'm excited as heck because we're looking at two matchups between maybe what I think are the four better teams in the league, and two matchups that both have Vegas odds of a field goal. So Vegas thinks both of these games will be close, competitive, hard fought. And they both are going to be played in conditions, which makes it even better. There's snow in the forecast in Green Bay. There's rain in the forecast in Kansas City. We'll start with the Chiefs and the Bills in the AFC Championship game. That's the second game tomorrow. All the talk, all the drama, all the conversation is Patrick Mahomes. Will he play? Will he not play? It looks like he's going to be available. Couple of things. First and foremost, what the heck are the Chiefs doing running triple option with a $500 million quarterback? I understand that the play worked, but, man, the whole time I'm watching, I'm thinking, why are you subjecting this guy to that kind of a hit? That just didn't seem like a high-reward situation there to try to pick up a yard or two knowing what it would mean to your quarterback in the process.
And that's when you said that's why Tom Brady plays until he's 43, and I don't think Patrick Mahomes plays until he's 43 with play calling like that. And sometimes Patrick Mahomes can get real reckless, like with running the ball. So, I mean, because he said we'll never see anything like that. Then I thought about, wait, maybe Patrick Mahomes. But that play, you just reminded me, that's the reason he won't pitch until he's 43.
Yeah,
I will
point.
Say this. If a high school kid got up like he got up after that hit, and because, listen, I mean, you guys obviously saw it. That was he was in la-la land. I don't know that that high school kid would be playing this next week, to be honest with you, with all of the protocol they would have to go through. I kind of thought there's no way they're going to play this game without, you know, him being, you know, deemed as ready to play. Although I saw what Colin Cowherd made the comment this week.
I was about to get on that. I was about to say that.
Yeah. Like, if he couldn't play on Sunday, they should move the game back. Is that what we've gotten to because of this COVID pandemic? Have we gotten into a world where if a guy gets hurt, you just shift the whole universe to make sure? So I thought that was a little ridiculous. Nonetheless, with him playing, Casey, I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's going to be close. I think Kansas City might just run roughshod over Buffalo. I think, as a matter of fact, I'm jumping the gun a little bit. I think both of these games might be runaways.
Okay, very interesting. Now the Bills beat the Ravens, and I got to tell you, man, like I'm a Bills guy. I've been a Bills guy all season long. They won 17-3. They, you know, made some things happen, kind of, sort of. Low-key got outplayed. They had an interception in the goal line that turned into a pick-six touchdown. I don't like this thing that the Bills are suddenly doing where they throw the ball every single play. I don't think that's feasible to beat the Chiefs. I think that they're going to change that game plan, obviously. But it was strange to see a team in a playoff game at that where, you know, for years we've been schooled into thinking, hey, in the playoffs, you got to control the line of scrimmage. You got to run the ball. The Bills threw the ball like 22 straight plays to start the game, and their first quote-unquote run play was actually a pass play where Josh Allen scrambled and got 2 yards running. That was odd to see, and they made it work. They won the game, but I don't know that you could beat the Chiefs doing that.
You can't. You're absolutely right. You cannot. That's the Chiefs ball game. If you're playing that, you're playing flag football with the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's what they do. But, boy, if you go in there and sort of frustrate them and keep their offense off the field and control it and do those things, I think you're in pretty good shape. And, listen, I said this from the beginning. If Kansas City's playing well, I don't know how anybody beats them because they certainly have a lot of offensive threats. But the Kansas City defense does enough, and they understand how to do enough.
And that's what you said. That defense, in my opinion, is just not – it does enough, but – if any team can exploit that defense, I think it's the Bills, because Josh Allen can beat you with his legs. He can throw it, but he has more weapons than Lamar Jackson has last week. So with Stephon Diggs, man, he is that guy. So, and I don't think they have a cornerback on that Chiefs defense that can cover him. So it's gonna be a good one. I don't think it's gonna be a blowout.
On the other side, we've got Tampa and Green Bay, and this one's gonna be in the tundra.
Green Bay
slightly favored, and you know what's crazy is that a lot of folks don't remember this. These teams played in the regular season, and Tampa Bay crushed Green Bay 38-10. I could see a world where the Packers are fuming and are furious about, you know, what happened that first time, but I also think of, you know, what type of team bothers Tampa Bay, and it's a team that could rush the passer with their front four, get in Brady's face, get him to the ground, which is what the Saints were trying to do and did it the first two times they played, couldn't do it on Sunday. Green Bay doesn't have that same type of rush, so I could see a world where Brady has time, Brady finds receivers and makes plays, wherever it may be, and I could also see a world where Ronald Jones and Fournette have good running games. I think this one, too, has an opportunity to be an interesting game. I obviously don't think Tampa's going to win easily, and I could see a world where Green Bay reverses the trend and maybe even wins the ball game by 7-10 points, whatever. We'll make our picks a little bit later in the show. But this one, I think, is so interesting because of how that first matchup went down. But the Packers right now are playing really good ball. They're coming into their own, and that Rams pass rush of Donald and those boys up front didn't bother Green Bay at all last week. They looked wonderful offensively.
Yeah, I think this is going to be more about what Green Bay's offense can do as opposed to what the Saints offense could do. Again, listen, when the Saints went down and didn't get two touchdowns early in that game last week,
I knew it was going to be a problem.
That was going to be a problem. That's not what's going to happen to Green Bay. In my opinion, that's not what's going to happen to Green Bay. I think Green Bay will be okay. And you mentioned Tampa Bay just squashing, you know, Green Bay early in the year. Didn't the Saints beat Tampa Bay 38-3, you know? So in the NFL, scores like that are just so sort of irrelevant. I do realize that if you have matchup problems, it poses a problem. But I don't think Tampa Bay is going to have a matchup problem with Tampa Bay this week. I think Tampa Bay may score. I don't doubt that. But I just don't know how you stop Green Bay. Green Bay's running back, actually running back, plural, because there are, you know, a few of them back there that are really good. Then they have a real – that receiving squad has really come around at the right time where it's not just Adams anymore. It's sort of everybody. And then I've never heard of that tight end before this year. I can't even say his name. It's Toyin or Tunyon or something like that.
Tunyon.
But they have it. And, well, you mentioned that the weather is going to play a factor. I don't think that Brady necessarily is going to work because Brady's played in New England his entire career. But everybody else on that Tampa Bay team, they play in a pretty nice area of the state, and it's going to be something for them. So, I it may be a tight game, but I just think that it's good. That 3 points, if I was a betting man, I'd take in a heartbeat Green Bay with a lot more than 3 points.
So, we'll see how that goes. Who do you all think is the best team right now? As I could see where I agree with you all 100% that if everybody lines up and plays their A-plus game tomorrow, the Chiefs would probably beat anybody and probably by a touchdown, if not more. The issue is that the Chiefs don't play their A-game very often. They only have like 4 or 5 double-digit wins all season. They don't blow anybody out, whereas other teams in the postseason, the Bills have – won double the double-digit games that the Chiefs have, and, you know, Green Bay's been playing great ball as of late. So if we had to lay, you know, a nick or two on this, who do you all think has the best odds of taking this thing home with 2 weeks left in the season?
Wow, that's a good question, because I got to tell you, if it's Green Bay and Kansas City, I'd have to reassess the whole situation and sit down, and I would probably really look at the matchups. I'm not there yet, even though I think these two teams are really – going to have no problems this weekend. I don't know. That's an interesting question, Casey, because I'm not quite sure. The only thing I would say as it pertains to what you said about how these teams play in the regular season is a regular season.
Mm-hmm.
We have found, if you're a Saints fan, you have found that the postseason is not that much fun for us. I mean, fortunately, you know, 2009, it worked out to win that Super Bowl in early 2010. But the rest of the time, it's not been quite as fun. I think maybe Kansas City knows how to win in the postseason as opposed to those tight games you mentioned in the regular season. I just don't know if Green Bay's there yet. We're going to find out a lot about Green Bay tomorrow, I guess. But, no, I would reassess the whole situation once we find out who's in the Super Bowl.
And I just love bad weather football, man. It's something about it. I hope it's snowing tomorrow in Green Bay. I hope it's raining in Kansas City. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just a guilty pleasure, much like I love watching amateurs play golf on TV because I love seeing them hit bad shots. I love when elements are part of something, and I'm excited
love,
and I'm hoping for bad
wrestling.
Weather.
You love wrestling.
I do too.
Yeah. Willie's a professional wrestling guy too, Stan.
Well, I think that's, even though I hate to burst your bubble, some of that stuff might be a little choreographed, but that
no.
All being said,
news to me.
That all being said, it's just kind of that raw energy, and that's what you get from a football game that's played outside. You know, when we're going to look at the best football games ever, and you're looking at those old NFL reels of NFL football, you want to see the frozen tundra and things like that. So, yeah, I get it, and it's kind of neat because, folks, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the Super Bowl, it might be a little rainy, but it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful temperature down in Tampa Bay for the Super Bowl.
Quick take, if Tom Brady makes it to the Super Bowl, you know he'll be the first team to ever – host the Super Bowl in their own stadium. That's why I'm going for Green Bay, because I do not want Tom Brady to be the first one to do that. He already got all the other records. I don't need him having this one.
Y'all, he has played in, I want to say, like 14 conference championship games now, maybe 13, something like that. the next closest guy to him is Joe Montana, and he's doubled him up. It's
wow.
It's ridiculous. He has beaten more teams in the postseason than anybody else has playoff wins. The stats are mind-boggling. It's ridiculous.
And I know we have to get to commercial break, but obviously it was a kind of neat moment when he was leaving the dome and he stopped with Drew Brees and his wife and their children, and they had a moment there. And I said that to a person I work with yesterday, and it was a female, and I said, listen, Tom Brady stopped. Wasn't that kind of neat that people caught this on their cell phones and we all got to see it through social media, and that it kind of all made it human? And she said, yeah, it's kind of neat. She said, but I'll bet you if Tom Brady would have lost that game, he'd have never stopped when he was walking back across that field. And I thought to myself, maybe not. I don't know. But all that being said, if you could get past your personal feelings for him and just look at the accomplishment, and I think, Casey, you and I are starter on that train, and I think Willie might still be on the I don't want Tom Brady winning anything train.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun to see how it plays out. Tomorrow, the Bucks and the Packers at 2, the Bills and the Chiefs after at 5:40. Let's catch a break. An icon in sports died yesterday. We're going to talk about that with Henry Aaron passing, and then we'll make our picks in the championship games. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
One segment to go here on the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We want to thank all of our coaches for joining us. That'd be Coach Brian Colley, Coach Derek Zush, Coach Gary Hill. Wrapping up the show today, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk briefly about Henry Aaron, who passed away yesterday. For my dollar, the Major League Baseball home run king. I know that statistics may say different. He played in a different era and a different time, and with some of the different things that he had to go through just to get into the league to begin with, and some of the challenges that he had to face on the field. Just an icon, and it was shocking news because you all know this. I mean, I'm a big Braves fan, and even as late as last season, he was in the booth upstairs calling half innings, with the guys. Every once in a while he'd show up and, pop in for an inning or two, and was still sharp as a whip, telling stories of his old playing days and talking about, some of the things he liked with the current Braves. And just a painful thing, man. And we hope that, that the baseball community is going to find peace in their grieving. And it was just a tough day because talked about early in the show things that we're not going to see again. I don't know that we're going to see a hitter like Hammer and Hank again, man. He did so many special things, and the statistics are unbelievable. It wasn't just a home run hitter, which is the thing today that – everybody wants to be a home run hitter, and you're either hitting a home run or you're striking out. Well, if you take away the 700-plus home runs Henry Aaron had, he still would have had 3,000 hits, which just goes to show the type of hitter that he was. Stan, your generation beyond Willie and I, you had an opportunity to see him play, whereas we didn't, and we just got to see the YouTube clips and the highlights and everything of the sort. Tell us a little bit about that guy's career, man. Just a special man who's no longer with us.
No, that was my formative years. That's when, you know, especially in the very late 60s, early 70s, when I was young, and we were watching baseball games, and it sort of reminds me of my dad, you know. And listen, every time I go through Mobile, Alabama, I want to tell my kids, whoever's in the car, this is where Hank Aaron is from, and, you know, let's go ride by Hank Aaron Stadium, which is the minor league park there in Mobile. That was the guy. And when, I'll never forget when he set the record, and you guys have seen it on social media and such, but I watched it that night on television. There wasn't a soul in the United States of America who wasn't happy for him and just exuberant as far as what it meant to think where we've come since then, where every time somebody's setting a new record, we start to question this or we question that. There was no questioning anything with him doing that. A very, very humble man who still fought for those things he thought was right and was an activist and had to go through a lot. But just the kind of guy you want as a representation of a cause. I can only imagine, Casey, and it goes back to you being a Braves fan. A lot of people in this area are Braves fans because of WTBS in the 80s and into the 90s, and you had the opportunity to see the Braves, right? That was before Hank Aaron's time, you know? And if he would have ever played when you could have seen it steady like that, I mean, obviously. And the other thing about him being so humble is I think his status as a baseball player would even be magnified, because those guys who talk about themselves a lot, who trash talk and they make a scene about themselves, they seem to rise in status. And he never did that. He was just a nice, humble man. So that being said, I'm not sure he'll probably ever get his just due, as you just mentioned, with 3,000 hits and the way he hits the ball, because he certainly was something else. And when I saw it, it was kind of, you know, you sit there and you think about your mortality and you're getting older, and that's kind of what it did for me. So I'm actually kind of glad that you and Willie and guys of a younger generation certainly appreciate what he did also.
19 seasons he received MVP votes. 19 seasons. That is unbelievable. His age 39 season, which was 1973, he hit 40 home runs, bat 301. Never in his MLB career, which started in 1954, ended in 1976, never did he strike out more than 100 times. Now you'd be hard-pressed to find a regular player who doesn't strike out 100 times. Career 305 hitter, 3,700 hits. The doubles number, 624 doubles, which is just absurd. Nearly 2,300 RBIs, which is absurd. You know, count the number of years he had 100 RBIs. I'll count them here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 seasons with 100-plus RBI. Played into his 40s with the Milwaukee team. Just amazing. Total bases, 6,856 total bases. That's an MLB record. Hammer and Hank, man, is a legend. And he did a lot, you know, in the front office to help build those, you know, dynasty Brave teams in the 90s, you know, starting with some of that work in the 80s. And I think that gets forgotten as well, but just a great baseball mind.
No doubt. No doubt. And aren't the Atlanta Braves just, yeah, a little segue, the Braves and the Saints are kind of the same, the 90s Braves and the Saints of now, but anyway.
Unfortunate realities. Let's go ahead and pick these games, and then we'll say sayonara. We've got the Bucks. We've got the Packers in Lambeau Field. Tomorrow, 2:05, 31 degrees and snow in the forecast. The Packers are a 3.5-point favorite. Vegas says over under 52. Tampa crushed them in the season. Will they do it again, Stan?
No, I think Green Bay wins this one 17 points at least. I would say final score somewhere around 31-17.
Really?
I got the Packers because I just don't want the Bucks to win.
Y'all,
that's a good.
I don't know, man. After last week, I'm starting to think that Tampa's gonna win it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I like the way their defense is playing, and I like the some of the matchups there. I don't think Green Bay could affect Tom Brady. I think Tampa's going to go on the road and win the game and get to the Super Bowl. I truly believe that. I'm not altogether confident, but I just got a gut feeling. The Bills are going to be traveling to Arrowhead Stadium to take on the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs. The Chiefs are a 3-point favorite. I'll be honest. I think that if Mahomes were 1,000% healthy, that would probably be 5 or 6 points, but Vegas says 3 points. These teams also played in the regular season. Let me tell you the score there. The Chiefs beat the Bills 26-17, and coincidentally enough, or strangely enough, rather, the Chiefs actually won that game on the ground, powered by 161 yards rushing from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I don't think is going to be available for this one. Well, he's listed as questionable, so he may be available. So Chiefs and Bills, what say you?
I think the Chiefs by about 10 in this game. I think that Mahomes is, obviously they're saying he's ready to go, so I'm going to have to assume that he is. And what interests me is when you're going to pick, you said Buffalo would be in the Super Bowl, so I can't wait after we get through Willie's pick to see what you say about this one.
I got the Chiefs because they have Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes is a much better quarterback than Josh Allen.
You know, here's where it gets difficult because I don't necessarily know that the Bills are a better team than the Chiefs, and I kind of think that in the NFL you've got to lose in the championship game before you win the championship game, and the Bills would be really passing up a step here. But I picked them in the preseason, and I'm not going to go against that. I picked them every week. I didn't think they were going to beat the Colts deep down in week one of the playoffs, but they did. I got to keep going with my Bills. I think that they're going to go on the road and make it happen, so I'm going to differ with you, both of you guys, on both of the picks, and we'll see how it plays out. But I'm excited to see how it all goes. We want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank everybody for joining us every Saturday morning. High school basketball will be coming your way on Tuesday from Morgan City. We've got Nichols today at 5 o'clock against the University of New Orleans. That game's actually in Thibodaux if anybody's in the area wants to go out and watch the Colonels, or you can catch it right here on the radio. Guys, have a great week. We're starting to make a little bit of progress in our COVID numbers. Please stay safe, stay committed to our CDC guidelines, everything of the sort. Have a great weekend. God bless. This has been the Sports Corner brought to you by TGMC Community Sports Institute. We'll be back next weekend, same time, same place on ESPN 100.3.
G-Shot, J. Will Zubin, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Exclusively on ESPN Plus, UFC 257 tonight, the notorious Conor McGregor returns.
Conor McGregor!
I plan on stealing the show every time. With a